Hello? No. Oh, yeah. I have the privilege of starting the service with a opening prayer. And on the way up, Bianne was reading through the scripture that she's going to share with you in just a moment. And we got into a little bit of a tug of war on one particular word, actually two words, my choice over her choice, but you'll hear more about that when she reads the passage. Please join me in prayer. You did. Lord God, you're just so wonderful. We love you so much. We thank you for everything that you do. We thank you for being the central part of our lives. Lord, as we come together to worship here, we ask that you will just continue to watch over us, open our hearts and our minds to your words. Direct us, Lord. Fill us with the words of encouragement that we need to hear and those words that we need to give to others. Lord, just give us the strength to serve you to the very best of our abilities. You do this, Lord. We know that, and we thank you. So be with us now as we enter into this time of worship and prayer. Amen.
I am going to read to you from Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. And this is the introduction to the book of Proverbs. It gives us the title of the book, its purpose, and the theme. Solomon, the greatest figure in the proverbial lore, wrote most of the book of Proverbs. This is the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the saying of riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. In this introduction, we are invited to learn from the book of Proverbs, to receive instruction, to acquire wisdom. We are encouraged to apply the teaching to our daily lives, doing what is right, just, and fair. We are shown that wisdom is available to the youngest and the most inexperienced. And we are shown that those who have already drawn deeply from the well of wisdom will find abundantly more. We are provided an understanding to all the proverbs of wise men. At the beginning of this introduction, we are given a theme for the entire book. Without knowledge and fear of Jehovah, the one true God, the wisdom that provides us guidance for living our lives cannot begin to be obtained.
Amen. So true. I love the reading of the word before we worship. think of that as we do. I'm going to ask you to stand. This first song just talks about how great he is, begins with his miracle of when he turned the water into wine, when he opened the eyes of the blind, when he himself died on the cross for our salvation. That was a miracle for me to even come to know him. But it's because of his greatness and because his name is higher than any other name. So stand as we worship.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes. Now it's my turn. This is the time for the giving, and I think we have a very brave pastor to give my wife the microphone. She's even braver to give me the microphone. So we could be here a while. I have a lot to say on giving. I've learned a lot about giving when I accepted salvation. And I learned, a pastor preached on tithing. And after that, after the tithing message, I said, God, 10% is not enough. You give us everything. That's not enough. And he said, no, that's okay. Well, I kept pestering. And he says, give whatever you want. I said, okay, can I give this much? He said, yes. So immediately after that, I got extremely busy at work, and I didn't pay any attention to what was going on. I put in huge amounts of overtime. At the end of the year, God made up the difference between the tithe and what I said I wanted to give. And I said, oh, great, now I can give it away. And he said, Carl, that's yours. Don't you give that to someone else. You spend it. I gave it to you. So God will make up the tithe. You can trust him on the tithe. You absolutely can trust him. And it's something he wants us to do. But he didn't stop there. I soon learned about offerings. He wants us to give offerings as well. And alms. In other words, when we see someone in need, when they are hungry, we are to move with compassion to give alms. So it doesn't stop with just 10%. It continues on. We have to open up our pocketbooks to him and give him the permission to use all of it. So, Lord, we come to you this morning. We give willingly, cheerfully, with delight, that we can give you 10%, and you will take it, you will accept it in the same vein that we give it. We ask that you use this tithe for your purposes. I'm over. I'm finished. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't that awesome, huh? I love what we are doing as with the unity within our church, blessing others around that are less fortunate. And to see how this box reaches so many families, I mean, not just the children, it touches the lives of all the family members, and it's just so, so special. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I present these tithes and offerings to you, Lord God. This is yours, Lord God, and I thank you and praise you for your love for each one of us. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the loving obedience that we do unto you, Lord God. And this is offered to you, Lord God. I pray that it will be used in ways that are totally and completely well-pleasing to you. Your blessings be upon it. Your multiplication be upon it and upon the lives of those who give, Lord, unto you. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. This is yours and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how many watch the World Series? I mean, some of you know I'm a baseball fan, right? So, and I've been able to watch some of the World Series and some of the playoffs, not, you know, as much as I wish I could watch, but I've been able to watch some. And one thing that I love about baseball is the teamwork that is involved. Have any of you seen that movie, Field of Dreams? Well, God built a field of dreams, and that's heaven. And see, we're on the World Series winning team. And one day we will be there. I mean, the World Series right now that's going on between the San Francisco Giants and the Detroit Tigers, that decision has not been made yet. It's looking favorable for the San Francisco Giants to win. They're ahead 3-0. And it's the best 4 out of 7 games. So most likely, statistics-wise, shows that the San Francisco Giants will win. But we have a Lord God that will already knows the score, the final score. See, in these different games of life that we play here on earth, we have a team that is against us, Satan and all of his coaches and those that are helping them playing this life game here on earth. Now, we have our manager is the Lord God Almighty. Then we got some coaches along, just as baseball teams have. And we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See, they know exactly what the manager has planned for the perfect defense of that game. He knows, though, that sometimes it's best for you to make some mistakes and lose some of those games on the road to winning the World Series, which is your home in heaven, the price that Jesus paid for each of us to have. So today we are going to be going over, remember we're going through the Irresistible Church. We've gone through 5 traits. We've gone through how we are to seek God, hunger for him, like we were singing in the song. And then remember who we are because of what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. See, when we truly repent of our sins, recognize that we're sinners and truly repent of our sins and truly have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And then we are the bride of Christ. We are part of the royal family. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that he has is ours. It's not you get a little bit of. You get all of what he has is offered to us. All the fullness of God is ours. So we are joint heirs, part of that royal family. And we are soldiers for him, warriors for him here on earth. See, our team is a warrior bride team. And it is spotless and perfect only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. So then we went on to living, trait number 3, living heart first, God's heart in us and through us. We were singing that and we were given that word this morning from the Lord. And then we had Mission Sunday, the International Day of Prayer for the Peace for Jerusalem and Israel. Then we went back into trait number 4 from the book, practicing gratefulness, that grateful heart. We were talking about the fragrance of thanksgiving in that grateful heart. And then last week we talked about promoting healthy relationships. This week, it is on trait number 6, and it's about always resolving to keep learning. Always, always learning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says, "The mind of the prudent is ever getting knowledge, and the ear of the wise is ever seeking, inquiring for, and craving knowledge." The first couple of months during the baseball season, the San Francisco Giants have a player named Brandon Crawford. He's the second baseman. He wasn't doing well the first couple of months, making a lot of mistakes. And reporters were questioning the manager and asking him, Bruce Bochy, they said, "Why are you sticking with him?" And he said, "He's our second baseman." See, when you were created in your mother's womb, God had a position for you on his royal baseball team here on earth. And so he created you with the gifts and talents. Exactly for those positions. He has given you a desire to have that position. There is another player named Sandoval, and he is the third baseman. Now, when he was 9 years old, he desired to be a third baseman, but he was left-handed. Third basemen need to be right-handed. So he taught himself to learn how to throw right-handed. Now, when we see that Brandon, going back to Brandon, the second baseman, making a lot of mistakes, do you think when the manager, Bruce Bochy, was talked to, he did not say that I'm going to give up on him. He said he is our second baseman. The Lord God is saying, you are positioned on my Royal Baseball team here on earth exactly with what I have equipped you to do. Now, you may have to learn as Brandon did. See, but God, as Brandon had his coaches, because the manager, Bruce Bochy, is saying, okay, I need you to learn some things. And so he was willing. He had a heart willing to learn. And he kept applying himself to learn. Did he continue to make mistakes? Yes. In fact, last night's game, they were commenting, the reporters who once were saying, why are you keeping him on the team? They were saying, look at him. He is the most improved baseball player. Bruce Bochy, his manager, did not give up on him. Our God has not given up on us. And the positions he has put us in and equipped us in to play for his baseball team, we are well equipped. But sometimes with that equipment, we need to find out it's there. We need to work on it and practice and bring it out and continue to work on it. Because, see, if we let go, we're going to start losing. Even the best position players constantly continuing to learn to improve and prove to be better and using tools to help them to be better. We see golfers using now these clubs that are just so incredible with the technology that they put them into it. Some of the golf courses saying that they don't even have a long enough range for them because they're hitting it out. And it's like incredible to see the technology. Well, God doesn't want us to ignore the technology that he's given us to improve, to be and do all that he wants us to be and do. We have coaches just like Brendan Crawford. And yes, he made a mistake, but that mistake they were saying was so little compared to how much he's improved. And Sandoval, wow, incredible. See, he felt, well, I'm left-handed. How can I do this? Have you ever felt that you couldn't do a certain thing because, well, I'm just not well-equipped there. I don't know that. It's kind of awkward to me. I can't do it. But yet you have this desire to do it, but yet you're feeling that you're not qualified. But in that desire, and as you surrender to the manager and listen to the coaches, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you will become a great, awesome player for the World Series team to heaven. No matter what the defense plan on that other opposite team, Satan and his coaches and players, no. See, you may win some and you may lose some, but ultimately, the whole World Series of life here on earth is totally and completely already decided. You have won when you have Jesus' blood over you. You are on your way to heaven where the true field of dreams really is. But what we need to remember is we need to have that learning spirit. And we need to want to gain that knowledge that we can get. This word is full of wisdom and knowledge. One thing we need to do, as we were talking about how to have the Holy Spirit last week with healthy relationships, to have that watchfulness, to be alert, to ask the Holy Spirit to look into us in anything that needs to be revealed that we need to repent of or forgive somebody of. We need the coach, the Holy Spirit, to do some critical watchfulness inside of us and having our eyes to have critical, but not for criticism. No. It is to help us improve. That is what we are to do for each other, is to help each other improve, but not with a critical, criticizing heart, but with a critical, I want to help you improve heart, constructive heart, looking at that. God's team does win, and we need to remember that we are all part of that team, and we all can be part of the coaches Just like Brandon, he heard, Brandon Crawford heard other team players giving him advice, especially listening to other second basemen, previous second baseman players, maybe watching videos of previous second baseman players, also learning about the equipment, the gloves, the shoes, learning about exercises that will help him improve with his reaction and accurate throwing, practicing. We have a God that wants us to do that. We have a God that wants us to learn where He has put us and to learn how to grow and develop what He's given us. But see, no action, what does that produce? Nothing. No action. And God has called us to act, to not be slothful, to not be lazy, but to be doers. An irresistible church, it chooses to constantly learn. An irresistible church does not change for change's sake alone. No. Psalm 119, verse 133 says, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Remember Proverbs 3, 5 through 6? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps." See, we have a God, as Hebrews 13:8 says, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same, but He also is the Creator, constantly changing. Constantly things are being created. Constantly moving. See, we have one that is stable, but we are not to be stable. We are to be stable in Him, but we are to be constantly using His creative power in us and through us to accomplish His will here on earth as we are playing for His World Series team. We should only change because God uses the agent of change for His good. See, we need to be listening to Holy Spirit when we should maybe stop doing something or start doing something or unlearn something and then willing to learn again. There was when we were in the Denver airport for a leadership conference, and when we were in there, there was this big like poster billboard thingamajigger, but inside, you know, so I guess it's like a poster thing, advertisement. And it showed this woman with her cap and gown on and her diploma. And they said her name, and she was 95 years old and had her degree. And I said, "You go, girl." I mean, it was like, isn't that incredible? She was still learning. She was not giving up. And we can all learn, no matter, don't you love where you just hear something? And that's one thing I like about getting older. I don't like the aches and pains, but I do like the thing about getting older is that just even practical things, talking to somebody, I just love learning things or seeing, catching something, or seeing a little kid and seeing things out of their eyes, and it brings back that preciousness of what God's created. Look at this bug. Look at this butterfly. Look at, I mean, it just brings that youthfulness back. And then to when kids are in school and you're hearing things, and maybe you had learned it before, but you're relearning it again because you had forgotten. It was kind of recessed back. It's there, but it's like, wow, God. When I was teaching my kids and when they asked me to homeschool them, and they were in second and fourth grade when I started doing that, and I remember I was not a big history buff. It was like I memorized just to, you know, pass the test, and then I forgot it after the test. And I remember just really enjoying it. It was like, wow, do you see this? This is so cool. Hey, you guys, isn't this neat? And science, which is not, you know, was not something I was really into, I was getting more excited about even science. And it was like, see, I was older. And I was so excited to relearn things that I had already learned. It was because I had this heart and this mind willing to learn, willing to be teachable. Sometimes we're closed-minded to that. We need to be open to that. There was a futurist, Alvin Toffler, that Pastor Wayne Cadero mentions in this chapter. on trait number 6, and he says the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. We need to constantly be willing to be open to the Holy Spirit to feed us with the Word of God. But we need to open it, and we need to read it. We need to ask Him to teach us and guide us and direct us, like Psalm 119, 133 talks about. We need to also remember to be fluid. We were learning this in the disaster relief training. He was saying flexibility is too rigid, but fluid flows and moves. We need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to be willing to go where He wants us to go, do what He wants us to do. Do you remember when I was preaching on reach and God gave me the message, you know, and that was part of the word that Pastor Doug had been given by God for our church, which it still is, our word. And on H, on honor, do you remember when I was getting ready one morning, the Lord gave me a vision of when we reach to Him, honoring Him, it's like we're on a swing, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to push us, our swing, whether we go really high and fast or whether we're going low, where the swing is and where the direction of it is. But we have to be willing to reach up to Him and allow Him the flow of the wind of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. But we have to be reaching up to Him. See, sometimes when we're learning and growing, we will make mistakes. That's just part of what happens. And we have to be willing to make mistakes. Pastor Wayne talks about Martin Luther saying, love God and sin boldly. Now, he wasn't meaning to sin, you know, but he was, in other words, saying, love Him with your whole heart and passion and continue to try to be obedient to Him, but you will make mistakes. So you will sin. You will fail. But he's saying, don't give up on that. Now, we see Martin Luther, right? Do you remember that he is the awesome one that we need to be thankful for and stuff? Awesomely, boldly stepped out and started the Protestant church because he recognized that salvation is based through faith upon Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In that fervor and that zeal, he was very, very much at the first part of it, sympathetic to the Jewish people. Do you remember when I mentioned that on the National Day of Prayer for Jerusalem and Israel? But do you remember the mistake that he made? When they didn't accept and receive it, what happened? He became bitter towards them. And with that embitteredness that he embraced deeply, he started joining then the Roman church in its contempt for the Jews. That was a big mistake. But it didn't take away his salvation. He loved the Lord with all of his heart and mind and soul. We are not going to be perfect. But we need to surrender our imperfections and our failures to the Lord God. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. See, right here, this cross, it says, rest in peace, R.I.P. See, Jesus died on the cross for our failures. We need to allow Him to bury it so that we can continue to grow. But see, if we're not allowing it to be buried, He cannot let new shoots of growth come out for each and every one of us. We need to have it buried. We need to examine and learn from those. But the results of it needs to be buried. It needs to be surrendered to Him. We need to grab what we can with that critical thinking, wanting to grab what we can for us to help us, and let it be buried so that He can sprout out new life and helping us to grow in Him, helping us to grow and learn and become better. That is our goal for each and every one of us. We need to always be alert that even if we are growing and doing great things for God, we are to always be watchful, seek the Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to do a personal Christ follower God's employee evaluation. We need to constantly be doing that review because we're on His team. We are His employee. We are His ambassadors. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Proverbs 13:18 says, "Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction." That's not a good one. "But whoever heeds reproof is honored. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." See, I want to be smart. I don't want to be in poverty. I want to be willing to be surrendered to the Word of God. I want to be willing and to be surrendered to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. As John 14:26 talks about, John 16:13-15 talks about, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He is the one that is the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. But we have to be willing to be surrendered to Him. It says that He will remind us of all things that Jesus taught us, but we have to be in the Word to be reminded. We have to be in the Word. Proverbs chapter 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser." That is like you're doing good. You're really good at what you're doing, but you can improve even more. You will never be perfect. There is always room for improvement. "Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning." See, that is one that is hunger to learn. That is always having that desire to learn, as trait number 6 talks about. We need to remember that after we learn from our mistake, we need to, as I mentioned, have it rest in peace. Because it is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that can guard our hearts and our minds, but only in and through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to bury all of our sins and mistakes. And in that burial rises up His creative power to work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, to love Him and to love others. See, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says, "So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance to them, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Because God does not want anybody to perish. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We need to remember He is truth, and truth brings freedom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 18 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold." I don't know about you, but that's good stuff right there. "She is more precious than rubies, and all things are you may desire cannot compare with her." Nothing can compare to the riches, to the money that this world has. The wisdom that God has for us, the knowledge, the understanding we can gain through Him. "Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 talks about. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18 is talking about how we can be prosperous and we can be well equipped and have all the resources we need if we are willing to gain wisdom and knowledge, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit teaches us in different ways through learning books and stuff. He'll guide you to a different way. Maybe you're an accountant. He'll have you learn a different way in accounting. Maybe you're a teacher and he'll have you learn different skills on teaching. He'll guide and direct you, but we need to always be willing to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading when we are going to that. Because really, this has everything we need. But the Holy Spirit will sometimes guide and direct us to other things that he will use as tools as he's continuing to develop us to be that awesome employee, that awesome player for his World Series team, the heavenly bound World Series team, God's kingdom team. See, some people in churches don't want to learn and grow. And often you can see a church, and this is not what I want our church to be. I want our church to be a church that is hungry to learn and grow, not only in the Lord, but improve in different areas of our life, improve in being a better mother, a better father, a better spouse, a better daughter, a better employee. Whatever your roles and responsibilities are, you can be better at it. And I want you to have that desire to continue to learn and grow and be surrendered to the Holy Spirit's leading as he is continuing to guide and direct you on what he wants you to be, because it's all that we do should be unto the Lord God Almighty for his glory. Every single area of our lives should be unto him. Well, Pastor Wayne talks about a warning on page 87 that you can spot people in a church who have stopped learning because they become possessive and territorial. He goes on to say that they say things like, that's my desk, that's my stapler, that's my room, that's my chair, that's my area, that's my close group of friends. Why are they possessive and territorial? It's because they see new people coming into the church, and that's scary and intimidating to them. They want to cling to what they have rather than learn skills, new skills, to become people of excellence, thereby reflecting God's glory and helping to draw more people unto him. There is a church that I heard that during the time after church service, they tell their people not to greet, I think it's 5 or 10 minutes with the ones that they know, but instead to start talking to ones that they don't know. That's in leadership, and I'll be handing that out later. But it's like, see, I want us to remember, because God has promised that this church will grow. And this church is going to have more people in. And some of those people that come in, they're not developed in their Christ walk as we are. So some of those people are going to be even challenging to love. But God has told us to even love the unlovable, hasn't he? To be kind, to turn the other cheek, because of his love for us and what he did for us. We need to extend that to others. And I need us to continue to learn and have that heart to love others and to want to strike up conversations with others and to include others and to see the gifts and talents that they have already in them and to help them to be developed, to be used for God's glory. We need to also remember to have honest reflection within ourselves. That truly is truth. We need to draw unto him so he can use us to draw others unto him, because they will see him in and through us. See, remember 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, I am united with the Lord and I am one with him in spirit. See, if we truly are one with him in spirit, we are surrendered to him. We are united with him. See, we will reflect more and more of him as we learn and grow in him. So people are going to see and going to go, what do they have? The world is going to get darker. The Bible tells us that, because Jesus is coming soon. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are many people out here in your realm of influence that need Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And he is asking us to continue to learn and grow in him, to be empowered by him, to help others to see him in and through us, that they will want what we have, so they will be drawn to us in order for us to draw them unto him, to help them to know who he truly is. See, the word is our rod. Do you remember when I was talking to you last week about the 14 lessons from Benjamin Franklin about getting what you want for success? Well, I said, okay, let's take it right biblically. Let's turn this around. I gave a couple ones about don't procrastinate, never leave that which till tomorrow, which you can do today, and then get moving. Remember, all mankind is divided into three classes, those that are immovable, those that are movable, and those that move. Well, we can apply all of that in this too. But there's a few others I want to share with you. Don't fight change. When you are finished changing, you are finished. Another one he said is, don't fear mistakes. You will know failure. Continue to reach out. Reach out to him in order to be able to reach out to others. So in other words, we have to give ourselves permission to make mistakes. And another thing that Benjamin Franklin said is, energy and persistence conquer all things. It was titled, Don't Give Up. See, we need to remember Galatians 6:9. We need to not grow weary in doing good, because in due time we will reap if we do not lose heart. Benjamin Franklin is known for the lightning rod. Benjamin Franklin was fascinated by storms and he loved to study them. If he were alive today, he would probably add to his accomplishments storm chasers. He would probably have created that. But it was in Boston, Massachusetts, in 1746 that Franklin first stumbled upon other scientists' electrical experiments. And so he quickly turned his home into a little laboratory, using machines made out of other items he found around the house. During one experiment, Benjamin Franklin accidentally shocked himself. Franklin spent the summer of 1747 conducting a series of groundbreaking experiments with electricity. In fact, he was the one that came up with the terms negative and positive in order for the battery concept. Well, by 1750, in addition to wanting to prove that lightning was electricity, Franklin began to think about protecting people. See, he was learning and growing not just for himself. Once he grabbed this, and something inside him said, I want to learn more. And he kept studying and learning. And he was going, there's something about this electricity. There's something about like a rod or something I can do. And it'll help protect people and buildings and other structures from lightning. And this grew into his idea then, the lightning rod. Franklin described an iron rod about 8 to 10 feet long that was sharpened to a point to an end. And so now the world, what, is blessed with lightning rods protecting many buildings, people. Well, we have our lightning rod. See, our lightning rod is connected to heaven, where our energy source is. And see, it not only protects us, it will help protect others, but we have to be willing to be current in this. We have to be willing to have our lightning rod attached to our energy source at all times, wanting it to be tall and up to him. We have to be in this word, seeking him for his energy to be in us, so we can then help others, protect them, protect their homes, as they are drawn into the source of the energy that we have in our lightning rod. Abraham Lincoln. I have a couple things around about Abraham Lincoln. And I want to read to you, this is a portrait that we bought when we first moved here. We saw it at the Christian bookstore, and I love it. And it says, it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proved by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Amen. You see a beautiful, large Bible, and you see him kneeling. That shows humility. Abraham Lincoln was known to be a very, very humble man. When I was looking up, I have a book at home about Abraham Lincoln too, which is awesome. See, he struggled with depression, and he was given a gift. And this gift was given to him by a gentleman named Speed, Joshua Speed, in Kentucky in 1841. And Abraham Lincoln tells him that, you know, he goes, you know what, he would return from judicial circuit that fall, and he wrote to Speed's sister back in Kentucky, and he says, tell your mother that I have not got her present with me, which was the Holy Bible, but that I intend to read it regularly when I return home. I doubt not that it is really, as she says, the best cure for the blues, could one but it take it according to the truth. See, she knew he was at that time suffering from severe blues in January after breaking his engagement with Mary Todd Lincoln. But they got back together, obviously, and then they got married. But at that time, he was, you know, suffering some major blues. And he went to this. Mr. Lincoln also may have had trouble taking the Bible sometimes as really applying it to his life. But then he grew in it. And he started growing, as you see his life going. Why? Because as you see his life going on and on, you hear more and more that he was more and more into this word. And growing, seeing the truth that it really did, freeing him, helping him. As President Lincoln said, he said, in regard to this great book, I have but to say, it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in this book, the precious Holy Bible. Lincoln was, people didn't like talking to him because as William Wolfe wrote, Lincoln's knowledge of the Bible was so thorough that his political opponents generally found themselves on dangerous ground when they quoted it against him. He referred to this so much in the decisions that he made in life. He had a story of the one-room schoolhouse, the cabin house that they were at, and all they had was the Bible to learn from. And they had to all line up to read the Bible. It wasn't until he was about 10 years old that he and his family was able to purchase a Bible and have a family Bible. Remember, those were big things back then, not easy to move around. The reference in the Gettysburg Address that this nation shall, under God, have a new birth of freedom. See, he knew there was birth of freedom. Abraham Lincoln grew in this. He loved the Word. And he knew that he, as he was in the Word, felt closer to God as he grew in the Word. See, Abraham Lincoln grew in other areas, but he grew in the Word. He was given precious words to him of from the slaves. And I just want to read really quick to you about what the slaves one time gave him when they gave him a Bible. Lincoln biographer William E. Barton wrote that Mr. Lincoln read the Bible, honored it, quoted it freely, and it became so much a part of him as visibly and permanently to give shape to his literary style and to his habits of thought. When a delegation of African Americans from Baltimore presented President Lincoln with a Bible in September of 1864, he replied, "This occasion would seem fitting for a lengthy response to the address which you have just made. I would make one, if prepared, but I am not. I would promise to respond in writing, had not experience taught me that business will not allow me to do so. I can only now say, as I have often before said, it has always been a sentiment with me that all mankind should be free. So far as able within my sphere, I have always acted as I believe to be right and just, and I have done all I could for the good of mankind generally. In letters and documents sent from this office, I have expressed myself better than I now can. In regards to this great book, I have but to say, It is the best gift God has given to man. Abraham Lincoln was a man who was self-taught, and he learned a lot. Benjamin Franklin was a man who learned. We need to continue to learn. We need to be willing to continue to grow, for we are going to be a church that is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. We need to be willing to be one and grow in the Lord. We are all part of His family. An awesome way for you to continue to remember each and every day is the penny. I want you, when you see a penny, to think about the Lord God Almighty and how precious He is, for He is to be number one in your life always. He is the one that when you look at that penny, you can pray not only for your country to be one country united under the one true living God, but also that you, the Holy Spirit, will come. You and the Holy Spirit will come together in unity in spirit. In other words, because you are surrendered to Him. You are one because you are surrendered to Him and His leading, His teaching, and His guiding you into all truth. Each and every day, look around. Keep your eyes open to what He is wanting to teach you. Keep your eyes open and being willing to see some area that you need improvement on. Being willing to bury your failures and being willing to be connected to your currency of energy through the Word, through the Holy Spirit teaching you your rod. Let that penny remind you each and every day when you see a penny that you can and will continue to grow as you surrender yourself to Him, His leading, His guiding, His direction, and watch out what He will do in your sphere of influence for His glory, because we are on the team, the kingdom team of God, and we have won the World Series. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I truly thank You and praise You for Your love for each and every one of us. You are our Lord God Almighty. You are our Heavenly Father who cares so deeply and wonderfully for us. May we each continue to be surrendered to You. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, and direct us, because You want us to be in full and complete obedience to our Lord God, submitted to His perfect will. That is what we want. I thank You and praise You for the gifts and talents You've given each one of us. I thank You and praise You for those that You have been leading to our church, and that we will all continue to grow closer to You each and every day and being surrendered to improve in the areas that You've given us, that You want us to improve in. It is all for You, all for Your glory. You be glorified. Amen. Thank You.
Do not cease to give thanks
for You. I do not cease to give thanks for You, making mention of You in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Thank You, Lord. I pray Your blessings on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You.